Bible and you want to turn to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 13, amplified again, Brad. This may seem like you might get done feeling what you feel here and feel like you should preach some let's run the aisle message, but I don't really feel that at all. Actually, I feel more convinced about this now than what I did just a few moments ago. 1 Peter 2 and 13, the Amplified. It says, and there's a classic and there's a regular Amplified. He might have the classic, but just follow along. Submit yourselves, thank you, therefore, submit yourselves to every human institution for the sake of the Lord, in parentheses, to honor his name, whether it is to a king as one in a position of power, or to governors as sent by him to bring punishment to those who do wrong and to praise and encourage those who do right. For it is the will of God that by doing right you may silence the ignorance and irresponsible criticisms of foolish people. Live as free people, but do not use your freedom as a cover or pretext for evil, but use it as bond servants of God. Show respect for all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, and honor the king. Servants, be submissive to your masters with all respect, not only to those who are good and kind, but also to those who are unreasonable. For this finds favor if a person endures the sorrow of suffering unjustly because of an awareness of the will of God. After all, what kind of credit is there when you do wrong and are punished for it? You endure it patiently. But when you do what is right and patiently bear suffering, this finds favor with God. For as a believer, you have been called for this purpose since Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example so that you may follow his footsteps. I'd like to try and preach to you for a few moments. I'll try and keep it somewhat brief if I can. On the topic, make me. You gonna pray for us, Brother Jerome?
Lord, we pray over this service, God, that you would just use Pastor tonight. Lord, that we've come in here just expecting for this word, Lord, to just really touch our heart, God, and uplift us, Lord, or whatever it may do, God. We pray, God, that you would just move through this place like you already have. And you keep doing what you do, Lord. And we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. Quite a few years back, I was in one of the local schools doing a class I did voluntarily. Teacher at the beginning of the class, he would always pull a student out that he thought would be a problem. So he went to pull this young lady out. She stood behind her desk. And can I have a chair? Put it over here. And he said, just come on with me. And she said, why? He said, just come with me. She said, I didn't do anything. He said, please just come with me. And she stood there at the desk and finally she went, no, I ain't going anywhere. I didn't do anything. He pleaded with her, because that's what you do in schools now. You plead, you beg, and you let the hens rule the roost. It was a make me attitude, because we live in a make me day, where we can do whatever we want. You've heard that by many, many people. It's my life. It used to be my body until COVID came along. Now it's everybody else's in the world's, but that's just another topic. And people are just bent on doing what they want to do. And I want to say to you tonight at the onset of this that this is not God's plan for his children. So in this text, we see a lot of things discussed. We see a dirty word in society today. He begins in verse 13 when he says, submit yourself. Ain't nobody my boss. Nobody gonna tell me what to do. Had a lady years, I you've probably heard this testimony, but years ago, many years back, not in our churches, she stood up in the middle of testimony service and said, "Ain't no man going to tell me what to do." I'm still trying to figure out how that was a testimony, but she had made her point clear. Nobody's going to tell her what to do. But the Lord taught us through His prophets, His men of God. He said, "Submit yourselves to the authority of every human institution for the sake of the Lord," whether it's to a king as one in a position of power or to governors sent by him to punish. Now, let me just simply say, that does not mean if they tell you that you have to do something that is immoral and in direct conflict with the Word of God, you have to do that. That's not what I'm saying. But it says that it's the will of God that by doing right in this manner that we silence ignorant men. And he says, show respect for all people. Treat them honorably. Love the brotherhood of believers. He said, fear God. He said, honor the king. When I was reading this a few weeks ago, when I read the point that said honor the king, it was as if the Holy Ghost had quickened my spirit and told me why this context of Scripture was here for you and I to benefit from. And this is it. Now, when you think king, you can think president or leader or ruler or whatever. They didn't have what you'd call presidents so much at that time, but it was more totalitarian rule. And so anyway, if I learn to make it a practice, now catch this, of saying, you know, I don't have to follow that moron in his opinion. I'm not speaking of anybody specific. Or you can't tell me what to do. Or it's my life and I can do what I want. If I make that a practice and a part of my life, I can assure you without question and without debate, when the Word of God comes into your life, you'll treat it the same way. And that's what we have done. That's what's happened to us. And that's why we have so much biblical discord. And no, I want to say, as I say many times, and let me get through this if you would before you kind of tune me out. It is not okay as long as we're all believers. That is not okay. What's okay is if we all believe in the Word in its infallible proof. It's what's okay is if we all believe that it is the ordained Word of God. What's okay is if we all believe, as the Scripture teaches us, that there is one Lord, one faith, and one baptism, and one God who is above all and through you all and in you all, and that is Christ Jesus. What's okay is if when we all come into the unity of the faith, which we know will not happen until Jesus comes. The Scripture teaches us that. And in part because of indifference, and in part because of confusion, in part because of stubbornness. So the Lord is teaching us submission. So when we get to Jesus, and when we get to the Word of God, and when we get to God's institution, submission will be a part of our life. And just hang tight. You say submission doesn't go over well. He said, for this finds favor if a person endures the sorrow of suffering unjustly. After all, what kind of credit is there when you do wrong and are punished for it, you endure patiently. But if you do what is right, then you patiently bear. Meaning, in our obedience and submission to many authorities of this world, if we have to bear a little bit and endure a little bit, the Bible says that finds favor with God, because Jesus did it. Jesus submitted himself to those in the garden when he was taken captive. He allowed them to take him. He allowed their process to play through. He allowed the trial and he allowed the scourging. He submitted himself, and that all began in his prayer life. Now catch this now. You've got to have a prayer life that will foreshadow the life that you live. His prayer life was, Lord, if I can get out of this, it certainly would be nice, but not my will. That is an act of submission. Thy will be done. It's okay when we don't like some things about the gospel or about God's kingdom on earth or about God's institution that's led by man. It's okay if we don't like him, but we must always come back to, but not my will, but thine be done. Can you imagine how many problems you would not have in the church if the majority of Christians just believed that? I mean, my God, sometimes we can't get past who's appointed as a youth leader. Not my will, but God's be done. So he says, he concludes and says, for as a believer, you have been called for this purpose since Christ suffered for you. We have been called for this purpose, to learn to be children of obedience. Now, just hang with me. I told you it's not going to be easy, but we'll make it easier, I promise you. We must make our framework not that of a self-serving attitude, but our framework, our makeup as an individual must be one that learns to yield and submit to the things of God, because I can promise you in the end, you will be the better for it. Let me just say it to you this way. How many of you as a teenager, you decided, yep, I'm 18 now, I can do what I want. And now where you are now, you look back and say, and you screwed it all up too. Can I get a few honest people to raise their hand real quick? That's exactly what I thought. Because there is this inherent thing inside of us that wants to kind of go and do its own thing. That began in heaven. When Satan said, I don't have to follow this process. I can do this too. I can sit on the throne of God. I can put myself above God. That spirit is straight from hell. It is. And so we've got to make it a practice to understand these scriptures play more of a significant role in our lives than what you could imagine. Now, we would all agree that we live in a time where everything and everybody is questioned. Everything and everybody is questioned. Anything you do is questioned. As a preacher, most things that you preach is questioned. As a politician, everything that you do is questioned. And so it would go without saying that if the church can be a light to this generation, we've got to teach the world by example how we come out of that self-serving attitude and we come into this attitude and this framework and this mindset of I am placing myself under the authority of God, and I'm placing my life under the hand of God, and in doing so, that is the only way we can ever better our lives. If we go back to that teenager example and all of the screw-ups that we did, we would all agree that every one of us, as a prodigal, the only reason you're here today because you came to a point in your life, probably in your pigsty, eating with the pigs, and you said, if I'll just go back and place myself back under the authority of my father's household, spiritually or metaphorically speaking, I won't have to live like this anymore. Because the pleasures of sin only exist for a season, and then the effects of sin take over, and then the ramifications thereby really begin to manifest in our lives. Now, before you get too antsy with me, everything that we do as a Christian, and this is what concerns me, it concerns me that we're taught more to justify everything, and I'll really kind of flip this script, so you just got to hang with me for a moment. And it's kind of taken a hold all throughout the Christian ranks and in the churches, and that is, you know, you can't tell me. I mean, when you have a Christian, who tell me what to do? Well, I can show you scripture that says I can tell you what to do. I'll show you Bible. Plain and simple, as plain as day, as plain as that brown chair that you're sitting on. And I'm being honest too, I'm not being funny. Let's look at 1 Peter 5 and 5. Here's your scripture. It says, "Likewise, you younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, and all of you be subject one to another." The word subject means to be a subordinate and to be obedient. Now, that doesn't mean that you come up there and you start barking orders to me. This is where people lose control of this stuff because they can't take things in context. Can I tell you what I have found to be the greatest fault in the church in our 20 years? Can I tell you what it is? Now, I'm going to be honest here. This is not to make anybody feel guilty or bad or anything. I'm being serious. It's Christians without any form of accountability. Now, let me ask you all a question. And I'm being honest here. I'm not being funny. If you go home tonight and what your spouse or one of your children just don't show up and they don't call you or nothing, and then the next day you finally reach them on the phone. "Hey, how you doing?" "What do you mean, how am I doing? Where you been?" "I was at Susie's house." "Well, why didn't you tell me?" I mean, first of all, you're not going to say, "Well, I didn't have to tell you," but your attitude said that. There's nobody that would accept that because what are you doing? You're imagining the worst. You're sitting there thinking, "My God," you're calling the hospitals, you're calling the police, and some of you have probably already done this before. But when we're accountable to each other, "Honey, I'm running late tonight. I'll be home around 10. 10 o'clock comes by, a little later. 11 o'clock comes by, 12 o'clock. Pretty sure there's a problem because he was accountable to me and he called me and he told me." The greatest fault, and I don't mean this with any mean spiritus, I have found in the Christian church is nobody wants to be accountable. You know what I mean by that? In my humble opinion, if you're not going to miss church, you ought to call somebody and tell them why you ain't going to be there. Now see, you start messing with people's independence, Brother Jerome, and it gets really quiet. Be subject one to another. If you don't want to call the pastor because you got too much pride, then call somebody else who you greet every time. "Hey, I'm not going to be in church tonight. Just want you, everything's okay." I'm not scourging anybody here. I'm just talking. See how tight it gets? What it does is, A, it shows that you and me, we're all one. I don't think as an independent individual. I think as a collective body. And by doing that, I'm making myself accountable to you. Why? What if you're the person that you never miss church? Now all of a sudden you miss. Now what the devil would tell you to say, and the devil does tell you what to say, he'd tell you, "Oh, it's only one time. It's no big deal." But what if that one time is because you stood out on your balcony and you saw the naked girl bathing below? And now you realize, while you're sitting there gawking at her, you realize, "Oh, it's 7 o'clock, it's church time, I didn't go. Well, my God, I can't tell anybody what I'm doing and why I miss church, so I'm just not going to say anything at all." But when you're accountable, what you do is not only do you dispel thoughts and questions, but you also show stability and you show a belonging that we are all in this. I know no other churches hardly teach this. But I am telling you, this could be somebody's saving grace. And it's biblical. It's biblical. "All of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility." That wasn't by mistake, because it takes a humble person to make themselves accountable to somebody else. "For God resisteth the proud and give grace to the humble." Now, I probably don't cover all of my tracks, but I try. I'll tell people things all the time. And they're like, "You don't have to tell me that, Pastor." And I said, no, I just want you to understand. I don't want questions to rise up in your mind. I don't want you to think anything wrong. I got no problem doing it. I really don't, because I don't want to give the devil room to question. If you or your husband or the wife decides not to come home tonight, I can promise you, if he knows you're alive, he's thinking something or she's thinking something. Unless you called and made yourself accountable and said, "Don't worry, it's okay, I am blah, 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 blah." Now, If you're married and you won't give your spouse that simple courtesy regardless, you're a fool and you probably don't have a good marriage. Just being honest. So God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Now watch John 14 and 23 if you'll turn there with me. Oh, I didn't pull it up on my own. Hang on. Pull it up here. I'm going to show you. Just hang with me. If a man love me, he will keep my words. Let me go back to my Amplified. Let me stick with it. If anyone really loves me, he will keep my word, my teaching. And my Father will love him. And we will come unto him and make our dwelling place with him. One who does not really love me does not keep my words. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. So Jesus is saying, number one, as the Son of God in flesh, I am always submitted to the Spirit. He's saying, listen, I'm not talking to you of my own accord. I'm telling you what God has put in me to tell you. I'm submitted. Number two, he said, if we love him, we will keep his words, his commandments. You cannot just disregard Scripture and call yourself someone who loves Christ. It is absolutely, according to the Word of God, not my words, is not true. Now, we're not talking about mistakes and boo-boos and oops and ips and all that stuff. We're talking about people who just blatantly violate the Word of God. Now, there's a reason that I'm reading this. If you go down to verse 31 with me, it says, but so that the world may know him without any doubt, that I love the Father, and I do exactly as the Father has commanded me. Jesus said, I don't do anything of my own accord, but I, as Christ in flesh, do as God in spirit commands me to do. He again is teaching us that he himself remains submitted. So, one point that I missed that I wanted to go back and make sure I covered with you was a verse of the first in 1 Peter. You don't have to turn there, Brad. Verse 18. It said, servants, be submissive to your masters with all proper respect, not only to those that are good and kind, also to those who are unreasonable. So Jesus took this thing, I hope I ain't boring you. He took this thing so far, he said, if you're a slave, he said, be a good slave. He said, be a kind slave. He said, whether you have a good master or whether you have a crummy one. Now, do you remember a man by the name of Joseph? And do you remember when he became a slave that he had purposed in his heart, he's going to be the best slave that I can be? And because of that, he earned favor not only with his Lord, but he also earned favor with God, which ultimately led to him earning favor with Pharaoh. Now hear me if you would, please. When we do things right in a manner that pleases God, God gives us favor amongst our peers. And as God gives us favor amongst our peers, I remember the world we live in, I don't care what anybody thinks about me. You need to care what people think about you. Because if they think you're a buffoon, you know, the word spreads fast. And you're going to be all alone in your own little world when you're 70 years old and you have nobody wants to be around you because you always mean to everybody and you cuss at everybody. You don't care what anybody thought. You should care about your image. You should care how you smell. You should care how you present yourself. If we go back in history, it was always customary in our society to care how you look in public. I mean, they got all decked out to go to the grocery store. Now, we don't get out of our pajamas because we don't care what anybody thinks. Now, listen, I want you to draw this parallel with me. And because we don't care about what anybody thinks, it shows in our life. And then it begins to show in our attitude. And guess what? It shows in the crime rates. And it shows in our divided nation. And it shows in our children. It shows in the rebellion. Because somebody somewhere began to set a trend that it was a cool thing to do whatever you want to do and don't care about what anybody else says. And in the end, you've got a society that's coming apart at the seams. And the reason I'm preaching this to you today is that I'm going to continue to say it because we're living in that time. And the world needs the church to step up right now and stand out more than ever. And listen to me. And if we will understand the biblical importance of being submissive, of obedience in to those who have spiritual authority, in submissiveness to each other, accountability, understand that God will give favor to His church. God will give favor to you as an individual. And then you want to reach those in higher levels of office. Let God give you favor with them. And you'll be able to have an impact that you never thought you could have. But it all begins somewhere. And that's why He said, if you're a slave, be a good slave. Don't get mad at them. If they're a mean master, still be a good slave. If they're a tyrant, if they're a good one, treat them the same way. Now, submission is not about lordship. Now, this is what I want you to catch. I want to make some of y'all feel better. Some of y'all, if they've already tuned out on YouTube, like, I'm not listening to this nonsense. And that's why you should. Right there. But listen, it might make you feel good to know. I genuinely, with all of my heart, have no desire to make anybody do anything. I'm not preaching for me. I don't have no desire. Is that a proper terminology? I don't have no desire. I do not have a desire to make anybody do anything. Now, I may ask people to do things, and I may hope that you do, but I'm not going to fight you. If you don't want to embrace, you know, my position on something, that's fine. You know, work out your own salvation, but don't do it carelessly while you're playing baseball and football and soccer. Do it with fear and trembling. Get in the prayer room, get a hold of God, do it with weeping, and grab a hold of the horns of the altar and ask God to give you revelation and understanding. But you see, submission is fully about free will. Joseph could have been a rebellious servant. Joseph could have ran away. He had ample opportunity. When my mind's failing me. Was it Potiphar was his master's name? My mind is. When Potiphar's wife threw herself at Joseph, his master wasn't home. Which means Joseph probably had plenty of opportunity to hot-foot it out of there. But he didn't. And because Joseph endured, as the scripture says in 1 Peter, because he endured that, it brought God glory. And it positioned Joseph. It positioned him to be the person that God needed him to be for Israel at that time. He had to endure a little bit. He had to endure the jealousy and hatred of his brothers. And he had to endure Potiphar and Potiphar's wife and becoming a subject and a servant. And he had to endure being cast into prison. And he still tried to keep the right attitude. But in order for God to get Joseph where he needed to position him to, Joseph had to be willing to keep a good, submissive attitude through all of that. And God positioned him in a mighty way. You don't get positioned by talent. And those nincompoops out there appointing people to the platform because they got good talent, they're destroying their churches. It is they're egotistical-driven churches. We get anointing when we have favor with God. We get anointing when we humble ourselves and submit ourselves. And listen, ain't nobody here, I know you would not disagree with me that we must submit ourselves to God. Correct? Correct. And the way God gets submission is by teaching us to submit ourselves to each other. How can you love me who you've never seen if you can't love your brother who you live with? How will you submit to me who you've never seen if you can't even submit to your mother or your father or your husband or your wife or your pastor? You can't. That's why God put this in place for us, to teach us, to prepare our spirit for a true, genuine walk with God, one that keeps ourselves under His covering. So it's not about lordship at all. It's all free will. I mean, truth be told, you don't like the message, you can get up and walk out. No one's chaining you down.
Well, I don't want to, yeah, and then you're going to be calling me out. No,
I mean, if it calls for it, maybe, probably not. I mean, there's plenty of people that have done that. You know, we leave it go and move on. 1 Peter 5 and 2 says, shepherd and guide and protect the flock of God. The word shepherd, literally means like a supervisory role. That's what it literally means. But watch, he said, shepherd and guide and protect the flock of God among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but voluntarily. Submission is all about volunteerism. According to the will of God, and not motivated for shameful gain, but with wholehearted enthusiasm. So it's not about lordship. Now, some people have a very hard time with these types of messages because... And Jasmine, I don't know, do you think I'd be okay saying what you told me on Sunday? I don't know if I should. Okay, well, first of all, let me preclude this. Or not preclude the right word? No, that's not the right word. That's not the right word either. Let me just say before I say that this comes from a young African-American woman. It didn't come from me. She said, I think the reason many African-Americans have a hard time with submission is because their history is rooted in forced servitude. And because of that, there is this automatic blowback. And our politicians have done a great job of trying to recreate all of this vitriol and hostility in order to cause discord, because the more unstable things become, the more laws you can pass to fix it all. So many people, and I'm not just speaking of any race or ethnicity, many people have a struggle with this because of their upbringing. They struggle with it because somebody may have forced them into things. Could have been shameful acts, servitude. I mean, there are people, imagine somebody who's been kidnapped and held hostage for years. It happens all over this country, all over this world, all the time. Imagine how they view any form of authority. Satan loves that, because nobody can ever be a voice in their life until they first win their trust and their respect. So I want to tell you tonight that we don't have the luxury of allowing our past to hinder us from being obedient to the Word of God. If you love me, you will keep my words. None of these words are mine. They're all in this ordained word of God. So, God, you don't have to say, make me, because God will never make you. God will never force anything on you. That's why people that say, why doesn't God step in and make world peace? Well, first he'd have to step in and tell you to go to church, and if he won't do that, he won't do the other. And then he has to step in and say, no, shut the TV off now and read your Bible. And no, you're not going out and you're not going fishing, Brother Fred. You're going to pray for 2 hours today. He'd have to tell us everything. But God doesn't make us do anything. So first of all, your saving grace in this message, your diffuser is this. God does not want to make you. This preacher doesn't want to make you. I want you to understand how God empowers us when we learn to have a humble attitude and a humble spirit, and we learn to be submissive to the things of God, to rulers in the world and to those whom God places in spiritual authority and to each other itself. It does empower us. God will never make you. He wants our desire to be led solely by humility. Now, two more texts, John 15 and 2. I'm going to go through verse 5, Brad, and then we'll jump down to verse 11. It says, any branch in me that does not bear fruit, he cuts away, takes away, and he cleanses and repeatedly prunes every branch that continues to bear fruit to make it bear more and richer and more excellent fruit. You are cleansed and pruned already because of the word which I have given you. Go ahead, the teachings that I've discussed with you. Dwell in me and I will dwell in you. Live in me and I will live in you. Just as no branch can bear fruit of itself without abiding in, being vitally united to, the vine, neither can you bear fruit unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whomever lives in me and I in him bears much abundant fruit. However, apart from me, which means be cut off, you can do nothing. Now you can stop there for a second. What that simply means is a branch cannot act out on its own because it is attached to the vine. It is submitted. If it removes itself, it dies. Period. Go down to verse 11 if you would. Now watch these verses. I have told you these things that my joy and delight may be in you. Wow. Hold on. So you're telling me that if I continue to be submitted to the vine, you're telling me that my joy is connected to that? Absolutely it is. Some of the most miserable people you will find are people who are lone rangers, who are bitter at the world, and they want nothing to do with anybody. They're miserable. But joy, true joy. Joy comes when I stay connected to the vine. And that your joy and gladness may be of full measure and complete and overflowing. This is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. Commandment, not a suggestion. I don't like the church because the church is legalistic. Well, you're right. Some things you got to do. You want to get to heaven? You got to do it. You got to love each other. No one has greater love. No one has shown stronger affection than to lay down and give up his life for his friends. You are my friends if you keep on doing the things which I command you to do. You see, there's joy and there is peace in submission. Now, let me conclude with this. I want to get back to this positioning thing, because this has got to be the meat of the day. Years ago, the last time we actually had Bishop Doug White with us, we were talking, and he was talking to me about, we were talking about many ministers that kind of shot to the top per se in the ranks of one's eyes. So-and-so's preaching, my God, let's drive 5 hours. It don't matter. I'm going to go listen to him. And he just said, you know, he said, when people go from the bottom of the ladder and they just shoot to the top, he said, the ladder will never be stable and eventually it will all come crashing down. And there were certain names that we were talking about that exact thing happened. They weren't in the church anymore. He said, but when you climb the ladder one rung at a time, he said, that's how you build your life, one rung at a time. Your talent doesn't skyrocket you to the top. If it does, you're an arrogant fool and you don't deserve to be at the top. Your position, because of who you know, does not give you the right to skyrocket to the top. Now, I'm going to say this, and listen, I'm just being real, folks. It isn't my fault. But this happens in churches, too. Someone just told me a story about somebody who left the church. They got mad because they weren't being used. So they went to another church, and it was a bigger church. And they really didn't get used right there. And so they got tired of it. And then they heard of some little, my bishop used to call it fish in the pond syndrome. You find a little pond, and you become the big fish. And so they went to that church, and boy, yeah, oh yeah, well, they threw them right there in position because they needed somebody. See, and then they said, God called them there. No, no, no. God didn't call you. You just kept getting offended and you kept moving around until you found somebody who'd do exactly what you wanted. Now, I can assure you, that situation will not last. When, and I'm finishing up. In right around 2003 or 4, I went to, I'm sorry to say this on the camera, but I'm going to say it because it's a fact. I went to Indiana Bible College because they had a Ministries Opportunities Day. And all of their seniors that were graduating and juniors, they'd have all these pastors come in. And you've heard this story, some of you have. And so you just tell them what your need was. And the hope was maybe they'd get some of these individuals planted in works so their ministry could flourish once they got done with Bible college. Well, then they'd stick you in this big room. It was a square. The tables were lined up in a square. And you sat there with your little name on it. And the guy from Florida that was offering 401k and a benefits package and a full salary, as the Lord is my witness, his line was from that back wall out the door. I'm sitting there twiddling my thumbs. I have 30 people in the church. I ain't got nothing to offer. Twiddling my thumbs. A few other people had a few. No one came and talked to me, not one person. I found out just a couple years ago that church folded. Maybe not less than 5 years after it started. Because they didn't try and do things the right way. And they probably weren't called. Because I have a philosophy. If God calls you, it can't fail. You can fail, but it still can't fail. The work can't fail. My point is, we can't elevate ourselves. We must be elevated. And the only way to be elevated in God's eyes, to have the favor of Joseph, is when we will submit ourselves and endure some things for a season. There's nothing more truthful to that. I'm speaking of my experiences when your pastor rebukes you or corrects you and you still show up for the next church service with a good attitude to the best of your ability and a good spirit. And then God does everything else. See, we need the Lord to do it. If we reap what we sow, wouldn't it make sense that if I sow in obedience, that now when I go to reap a harvest, meaning when I go to try and win people to the Lord, God will send people with a willing spirit my way that won't fight everything I say. Be careful when you fight every little thing, because when you get it back in your life, you're going to figure out what's going on. So if I sow with that right spirit, I do believe that I reap in the same spirit. And the harvest that I reap is full of hungry people that aren't here to challenge me and make me miserable and make me feel like a failure as someone doing outreach. But God will touch their spirit and they'll be hungry for the word and they'll be hungry to hear what you have to say. And as we all know, there's nothing better than somebody who's just hungry for it all. It's just so refreshing. It makes it so exciting and so fun. I can tell you this, that we did stay in one church. And I'm not criticizing you if you didn't, because God does ordain transitions for certain times. But we did. But for our story, we stayed and we had to endure things and we had to endure some criticism sometimes and we had to endure, some rebukes. And all those things are biblical. We don't talk about these things anymore because we're afraid of spooking the church. But listen, if people are going to get up and go because you're going to preach the word of God, well, then you ain't got nothing anyway. You got nothing. You got nothing but a body, and that body probably don't even pay the tithes anyway, if you want to look at it that way. I'm serious. But when you got people that are hungry, Brother Jerry, they want to hear what you've got to say. They're willing to endure some things because they love the Lord. They embrace His word even when it's difficult. They embrace it and they do so with joy. And then you watch God begin to prosper their life and you watch God begin to elevate them. That's a scripture that God has reminded me of over and over and over again. I don't know why He keeps reminding me of it. I think I'm doing it right, Sister Karen. I don't know. That God elevates us. God elevates us. He who is exalted will be abased, and he who is abased will be exalted. God elevates you in somebody else's eyes. You don't have to prove yourself with all your wisdom and all your scriptural knowledge. You don't have to worry about wowing them. You just have to worry about having a humble and a submitted attitude. And in time, God will elevate you in their eyes, and people will start to come to you because He's begun to elevate you. They'll embrace what you say because God has elevated you in their eyes. That is what happened when Joseph stood before Pharaoh. God already prepared Pharaoh's heart. He elevated Joseph in Pharaoh's eyes. And when he was done, Joseph, still having the right attitude, said, well, you need to find somebody who you can trust. And they need to start preparing for this famine. And Pharaoh said, you're the guy. You are the person. I feel the Holy Ghost right now. I really do. So what I want you to get out of this is you don't ever have to worry about God making you. God wants you to want it. He wants us to have the right attitude. He wants us to maintain that right spirit. And I promise you, God will elevate you. And your heart will be full of joy as you do whatever the Lord calls you to do. I've never found somebody who has a good attitude as a pastor, and they come to you. And I've never found one person, honest to goodness, that will allow you to pastor them in whatever way that means, who didn't just seem happy. But I'll tell you, the ones that don't seem happy are the ones that get an attitude whenever you talk to them about something they don't like to hear. The ones that get offended easily. Truthfully, they're the ones that just never seem happy. I'm telling you, the Scripture is right. And our joy comes by staying connected to the vine, understanding where our roots come from, understand who it is that feeds us and nourishes us. And I'm talking about the Lord. But the body is the spiritual vine. And we all stay connected. Stand with me if you would, so I can stop. I do thank you because there's a wonderful spirit here, which means you have opened your hearts to receive this, and I do pray that it was a blessing to you. I really do. I feel privileged that I have kids that, for the most part, they listen. Sometimes they need a little poof. And I'm even further excited that I will watch God elevate them as long as they stay submitted as children. And in conclusion, nobody in this building wants to allow their children to rule the roost at home. Anybody here let your children just rule the roost at home? They tell you what to do? Nobody at all? Okay. Well, remember that. Because we expect our children to be submissive to our words. And the Bible tells us, except you become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. We have to remain submitted to the word of God. Now, I'm not preaching this to you because I think we got a bunch of rebellious folks, because the spirit here is confirmation. That's not the case. What I wanted you to understand is the way we win and the way God elevates us in this last hour in this God-forsaken society is when we keep our spirit and our heart right. We keep that spirit of humility, of teachability, of being allowing ourselves to be corrected, or whatever God feels is necessary. And then the Lord can elevate us. I want to pray together, if we could, before they sing, if you wouldn't mind bowing your heads. Gracious God, thank you for your precious word. Thank you, God, for truly, for the wonderful spirit that I feel in this place, which just proves that you've given us a group of people that love your word, God, that love your truth. Some things we have to sit and grit our teeth a little bit. Some things we might not understand right away or agree with. But because of our love for you and our love for your word, God, we stay. I pray that you will teach us, God, how this word can be better applied to our lives. Most here already agree with this. Most already practice this in their life. But Lord, we know that we can always be perfected. And you gave us this fivefold ministry for the perfecting of the saints. And I pray, God, that for each one of us here, you would help us to apply to our life. That our relationship with you can be perfected. And as I learn to be submissive, those who you place me over will also learn to be the same way. As a man, and I submit myself to the things of God, I will have a wife that will embrace the Scripture. And as children that will, or as a wife that will submit herself, then her children will submit themselves. Because everything you do flows downhill. We reap where we sow. Lord, speak to our hearts now, I pray. Let our minds be enlightened, God, that we might receive from you in Jesus' precious name.
Let praises rise from the inside, from the inside of me. May you delight on the inside, in the inside of me. Come fill my life from the inside, from the inside of me. Set me on fire from the inside, from the inside of me. 'Cause all I want is for you, for you to be glorified, for you to be lifted high. 'Cause all I want is for you to be glorified, for you to be lifted high. Let praises rise from the inside, from the inside of me. May you delight in the inside, in the inside of me. Come fill my life from the inside, from the inside of me. Set me on fire from the inside, from the inside of me. 'Cause all I want is for you to be glorified, for you to be lifted high. 'Cause all I want is for you to be glorified, for you to be lifted high. 'Cause all I want is for you to be glorified, for you to be lifted high. 'Cause all I want is for you to be glorified, for you to be lifted high. Fill my life till all they see is you, Lord. Glorify your name. Fill my heart still all they see is you, Lord, glorified. Or they feel my life still all they see is you, Lord, glorified. Or can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain. I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain. I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God.
I just forgot to give you my last scripture that I've got. You got to hear it. And I will give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. And it shall come to pass when you be multiplied and increased in the land. You don't have to worry about being hurt. God will place the right person in your life that will not hurt you. Now, nobody's perfect. So every pastor makes mistakes. But he'll give you one after his heart, not your heart, after his heart. And the Bible says, and it shall come to pass when you be multiplied and increased in the land. That tells me when I let God put the right leadership in my life, my life will increase. I will be fruitful. I will be multiplied. My home will be blessed. Come on, somebody. I know that you feel what I'm saying. And this is why we've got to have a church. This is why we've got to have the institution that God set up. Amen. Go ahead, Brother Tyler.
Oh, 'cause all I want is for you to be glorified, for you to be lifted high. 'Cause all I want is for you to be glorified, for you to be lifted high. 'Cause all I want is for you to be glorified, for you to be lifted high. 'Cause all I want is for you to be glorified, for you to be lifted. To be glorified, for you to be lifted high, is all I want is for you to be glorified, for you to be lifted high. Cause all I want is for you to be glorified, for you to be lifted high. All I want is for you to be glorified, for you to be lifted high. Cause all I want is for you to be glorified, for you to be lifted high.
You can pray as long as you want. I've asked / told Colin to come and close us in prayer. But I want you to know, August 15th, Bishop Todd Nichols is going to be with us. And he'll be here that night before on the 14th. It's not going to be a service. It's going to be more of a teaching format. If you want to come, you can. If you don't want to, you don't have to. I'll give you more details later, but I'm excited about him being with us. Come close us in prayer.
Jesus, I thank you for the service you've given us, Lord God, this word that you brought upon us today, Lord Jesus. I pray that you just help us to take it into our minds and hearts, Lord Jesus, and just apply it to our lives, Lord God, and bring it into our homes, our workplace, Lord Jesus, our schools, and anything like that, Lord God. I just thank you. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen.